Thank you very much for inviting me today. It's quite possible you haven't really heard about Johnson Matthey, and we do a lot of business in the area of sustainability. Perhaps if we could just move on to the next slide, Gavin. We have a vision for a world that's cleaner and healthier today and for future generations. And 86% of our sales today are from products that contribute to the UN Sustainable Development Goals. So we're very serious about this. I run the part of Johnson Matthey that is active in chemical production technologies, technologies for producing hydrogen, technologies for producing both green and blue, and also for assisting with grey hydrogen today. And we are very committed to helping the world actually to move forward on this. And when you consider that actually 57% of the global GDP today has got net zero targets associated with it, which has shifted dramatically in the last year, there is a great opportunity for companies, for British companies that can make a difference here. We have a business around £100 million in revenue associated with hydrogen, profitable business, and have been a leader in this area for many years. And when you think about the sorts of science that is going to be needed, it's not just about the technology itself for producing hydrogen, it's also enabling science for all the elements that are needed around it. Just like you talked about a moment ago, Julia, you have molecules that cause embrittlement. You need to make sure that you can deal with all of these aspects as well when you're looking at bringing new technologies to bear. So if we can just move through to the next slide, please. So as we were hearing earlier, decarbonisation, clearly having clean electricity is going to play a critical role in decarbonisation. And wherever possible, we should want to be using renewable energy for light duty transport, for heating homes, for businesses, for most rail applications and those light industrial processes. If you could move through, please. Where we are going to need hydrogen is where you've got those more in energy intensive industrial uses, where there's more heavy duty transportation in marine, as we were hearing earlier. And indeed for that sort of longer range transport and for light duty and for some of those rail applications as well. And hydrogen can be from a number of different sources. So if we can just move through, please. Because hydrogen is a wonderful small molecule. Not only can it enable the energy transition, but actually it is also quite fundamental as you start to look across the value chains into chemical building blocks, where you might be using even captured CO2 and combining that with hydrogen and using other processes to make those building blocks for chemicals we use today and that we need today. So, for example, ammonia that we talked about earlier that can be used for crops, fertilizing crops, for methanol, things that we need for those consumer products that are consumed everywhere in the civilized world. So very, very important that we think of hydrogen as indeed part of a system, but part of a broad system that isn't just energy, but also about full value chains leading through to consumer goods. And we have companies in the UK like JM that are at the heart of some of that. You can move through to the next slide, please. So we are going to need a lot more hydrogen in the future, and it must be clean. This little projection here looks at how much hydrogen of the different types will be used in the future. And it's clear that we do need to disincentivize the use of grey with carbon taxes. So that's quite important how that whole carbon tax regime develops around the world. Blue adoption will be driven partly by the energy intensity of the usage, as we talked about earlier, partly by geology, because to use blue, you need to be able to capture the carbon dioxide that's produced on the way, partly also by the need for pace, because the planet can't wait for us to go through the technology learning curves that we need to get through, and we need to move at pace to decarbonize. So blue needs to be used to help that pace. But green also needs to be accelerated through into adoption. And green, of course, will be driven by geography, by the cost of renewable energy and that declining cost that Julia eloquently talked about a moment earlier, and of course by incentives. So what we're likely to see is a mix of all of those different types of hydrogen, with the grey diminishing, hopefully quite rapidly, and a move towards blue and green as we look towards 2050. So if you look through into the future, if you can just go through to the last piece here. In the UK, as we've discussed earlier with Julia and also with Nigel, we've got this opportunity and a great opportunity in the UK to be a leader in this space. And we've got some world-leading initiatives going on. Our target that's been set in the 10-point plan of 5 gigawatts of hydrogen by the end of 2030 is on a par, I'd say, with, say, the target set by France and by Germany. We could possibly be even more successful by going faster. And I think that's one of our challenges to see how we can accelerate and make sure that we are leaders, rather exporting rather than importing hydrogen in the UK. But I think when you look at that whole global market and what needs to happen around the world today, hydrogen in total can probably contribute decarbonisation of about 6 gigatons of the carbon dioxide. And that's compared to the 43 that needs to be done around the world. So to conclude, it's not going to actually get us to net zero around the world. But without it, we definitely are not going to get there. And we need to be moving at pace on blue, on green, and make sure we're learning fast, going through those technology learning curves. Thank you.